We've changed our focus a little bit this morning. And the reason that our focus has changed, because we're changing. We, the church, have gone through in the past few weeks some devastating times. And many of us in this room right now are going through some of the most difficult times of our lives at present. We would never admit it to our friends, to our husbands, to our wives, to our children, but it's in our daily actions, how we deal with the tension in our lives. As a pastor, I had great difficulty this week trying to focus upon the parables. The parables. Lord, let me stay in the parables. And it was early evening when the Lord spoke to me last night very clear, through the most direct communication with some of you, that I could not preach what I had intended to preach starting the beginning of the week. And whenever those kind of things happen to me, then I understand why all week I'm fearful for the body. I'm walking around feeling like something's going to happen at any moment, and my people seem to be losing their way. Every time the phone rings, I'm afraid the tragedy is happening. I'm looking at the lives of the church and I'm saying, Lord, why won't these folk understand that it ain't going to work until they do it your way? And then when things happen and then my heart is grieved, first thing that I do is I say, well, is it me, Lord? I mean, I think I'm doing what you told me to do. I hope that I understand what you've called me to do. And then God speaks to me early evening. I mean, I'm in my study at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't leave until about midnight last night, trying to redo everything, rethink everything. And what the Lord is saying to me, consequently, is they don't trust me yet, John. And so we began the study by asking the question, do you trust him? Now, it's one thing for you to say, yeah, I trust him. But sometimes when he doesn't do what I expect him to do, I think that he's not keeping his end of the bargain. And so then I leave where he's told me to go, and I try to do it my way. My question is, my friend, do you trust him? You know, when you look at Job, and you look at Job in chapter 13, verse 15, and it says, though he kills me, I will hope in him. Easy to speak. But in many of the lives of the church today, he's killing us. And we've walked off and we've left him. We've changed our focus. Our attention is on the other instead of on him. And we can see the tension of our attention in our lives. So each of us would admit that we've had those kind of personal situations in our lives. You'd also admit that our individual thought patterns have placed the Lord on a spiritual hold for the past few weeks. Some of us have put Jesus on hold. He's trying to call us, and he can't get through because we put him on hold. And once you put the Lord on hold, you start doing some things in your own lives to try to make things work, and it is nothing less than reverting back into the world. You think like the world. You act like the world. You talk like the world. The world speaks to you. Jesus? Oh, he's some kind of a freak that Pastor John is going to talk about on Sunday, and then I'm going to feel tremendously guilty because I've lost focus of who I'm supposed to be. We therefore must answer this long question. Do I really trust him? Do I really trust him when everything is falling apart? Do I really trust him when my job situation is crazy? Do I really trust him when that spouse of mine has gone banana fruitcake? Do I really trust him when my children don't seem to remain focused? Do I really trust him when all of the eager is gone and the anxiety replaces the eagerness to do for the Lord? When depression has been the result of all of this kind of madness, because see, we've been walking around depressed folk for the past 2 and 3 weeks. Can't even come to Bible study anymore. You know what we say? Oh, I know what he's going to say, and I'm sick of hearing it. The inevitable question, my friend, is do you trust him? Oh, I got to get up every day and go to work, and I'm sick of that job. I'm sick of my boss. I'm sick of not having the money I need. I'm sick of you. Quiet has kept you saying, Lord, I'm sick of you. Do you really trust him? Oh, sure, we talk that stuff. If we, like the early believers, have a literal interpretation of the text of Scripture, you've got to consider the words of Job. This man was in depression. And he said, kill me. I hope in you. The Christian church today does not speak like that. We say, fill me, or I'll show you how quick I'll leave you. If you don't do what I want you to do at the moment that I ask you to do it, then you are hard case God, and I'm sick of you, and I'm not going to worship you anymore, and I'm not going to follow you anymore, and I'm not going to be obedient anymore, because the flesh has become my God. And then after he's devastated your life, because you are chosen and called, you come crawling back. The question before you put your hand on that table this morning is, do you trust him this morning? Because he is so cheap to say, oh yes, I trust him, pass the bread, pass the cup, and then you're going to go on out there and live like hell for the rest of the week. So we're going to review a little bit of Job's trauma. We're going to look at his trauma, and then what we're going to do is we're going to look at your trauma. We're going to look at Job's mess, and then we're going to look at your mess. And then we're going to see what kind of a Christian you really are, especially in the view of a man who did not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit or the completed Word of God to turn to. A man that had nothing but devastation, pain, and calamity, yet he trusted in God. Now, why don't you turn with me to Job chapter 1? I want to show you something. Because you see, we have God all wrong. It is my premise to let you know that the calamity, the trauma, the depression, the perplexity that is coming in your life is no different than what comes in any godly person's life. And the question is, my friends, is do you trust him this morning? We're going to review the life of Job as found in Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, that blessed man of God. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions were also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, that means 1,000 in all, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. He had folk working for him. He was a very popular entrepreneur. And that man was the greatest of all the men in the East. And his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it came about that when the days of fasting had completed their cycle, that Job would send and consecrate them, raising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continuously. In other words, this man said, maybe my children have left God. I'm going to offer up sacrifices for them in case they've lost their way. So you see something about Job. He had a lot of stuff like we do in our society. And everything was going very well. God had blessed him tremendously. We understand that about Job. But now we would see, number one, that we are, just like Job, open to personal attacks, physical, emotional, and psychological. Now the man's life is going well, just like yours is. In any given time, your lives are going to be going smooth, well, and nice, and comfortable, and God's going to bless you, and you're going to be receiving the blessings of God. That's all I see in that text. God was blessing this man. Now listen, pay attention to me. All of a sudden, something begins to happen. His physical, emotional, and psychological trauma begins to take place, and we see that in verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said to Satan, in other words, in the midst of this man's prosperity, in the midst of God blessing him, in the midst of everything going well, the Lord says to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered, said unto him, from roaming about, that is, on the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you been checking out Job? For there is no one like him in all the earth. He's blameless, upright man, fearing God and turning away from the evil. Now, what I see here is that I see the Lord is in total control of every situation. Every situation. I see the Lord going to the devil. So what's happening, big boy? What you been doing? And the devil said, I'm doing what I do all the time. Getting ready to set some folk up. Getting ready to bring some havoc in their lives. Getting ready to bring some damnation in their way. What do you think I'm doing, Lord? I do what I do all the time. Now, do you find it difficult to understand that the Lord is on speaking terms with Satan? Because that's what I see. I see in the text that the Lord is on speaking terms with the enemy. When mess comes in your life, and even if the enemy has a part of it, God knows about it. When your prosperous situation is, God knows about it. You Christians, why are you looking strange? Nothing's happening strange. When things change, God knows. God says to the devil, what you doing, big boy? How's things going? He says, you know what I'm doing, man? I'm wreaking havoc in humans' lives. I understand something here. Do you also find it strange that Satan is as blunt as he is? Satan says, I'm seeking to mess up some lives. You see what I mean? God says, what's happening? The devil answers. And guess who the devil has in mind? Not the unbeliever, not the sinner. He already owns them. He already owns them captive. But he's looking at the godly folk. Look, the devil wants to wreak havoc in your life because he's already got the sinner, but he wants to mess up believers. See, if you're a servant of the Lord, you are nothing but a doulos. That's in the New Testament rendering in the Greek. You're a bond slave waiting to bow the knee to God. He didn't save you to make you better than anybody else, to make your life safer than anybody else. He didn't save it to make that you wouldn't have no troubles in life. Jesus put it this way, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And the minute it rains on you, you start freaking out. You're supposed to say, wash my house away and everything in it. And if you want me to swim and wade to stay alive, teach me how to do the butt paddle to keep above it. And say, praise you, Lord, I think this one's going to take me out. Feel the tension, whammo, and go to heaven. Some of us don't want to die. How you think you're going to get to heaven unless you die? I want the rapture to come and take me out of here. Hold it. You may have to wait and say, sister, I don't think I can stand no more. Feel the tension of a bloop. I'm feeling it. A bloop. Three times. That's it. Bye, y'all. Boom. We'll do the funeral and we'll say, praise God, they're free. We don't want to be free. We want to be free from pain. The Lord also knew something else about Job. He knew that he was unique, that there wasn't too many like him. Can the Lord say that about you, my friends? Have you considered my servant, brother such and such, sister such and such? Well, not really, Lord, because they've been living in sin for the past 16 months in the church. I already got them rolling and a-bowling. I ain't worried about the church, all them filthy, fleshly heathens calling themselves Christians. I already got the church. They fussing and following a heretic that thinks he's a man of God. I got the church right where I want him, in total confusion, seeking the beauties of the universe, trying to find an affinity with the turtle. He couldn't say, consider the church today. New age all around us. Do you feel bad? You need to feel good. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad and let the house fall down. Then get glad in him. Your house fall down, you're ready to cuss God out. Something else that God knew about Job. He said that the devil could not find a mark against this man's character regardless of the difficulty that came in his life. In other words, he said, look at this man's character, regardless of the difficulty, you won't find nothing wrong with the man. His character is upright. You can bring anything you want on my slave, and my slave says, thank you for the pain. The church today, oh Lord, dying? I don't want to die, I want to live forever. No, you don't. You need to die, and the first fool that needs to die is you to yourself. Like a nitwit called me the other night trying to talk about how beautiful her filthy body was. How are the beautiful? I said, altogether garbage. I'm beautiful. I said, you a filthy garbage pot. I'm not. Yeah, she was in Jupiter and Saturn and Pluto when I got through hanging up on her. Talking about she works for a 1-800 number. You know what those things are. Calling, trying to entice the pastor. I was supposed to get into her filthy flesh. Like I'm one of them kind of preachers. I'm into the flesh.
I work for 1-800 number. I said, baby, why are you talking so low? Well, I'm under the cover. I said, well, you don't want to wake up the other folks. There ain't nobody here with me. I said, this heathen?
She wasn't like Job. You see, and she's probably going to somebody's church. This morning eyeballing the preacher. And the preacher's shaking. Well, let us pray. And every time he looks at, yeah, right. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. God also knew this about Job, that he had an upright spirit, an upright mind, he had upright conduct, and he was a man of godly dignity. God said, look at my slave. Bring havoc on him. The man is up in every area. Today, the church, well, as long as he has money, he's all right. But let his money run out, you got to be careful. As long as his material things are coming in, oh, he's a good believer, but let that money, oh, let things change. And this kind of believer will change on you. And listen, you believers, to get like that, I got some news for you. You belong to the Lord, and he's going to jam you in a week or a month or something, and he's going to jam you. He's going to jam you because you belong to him. That's what he was saying about God. He also knew this about Job, that he reverentially feared God. You see, the Lord told the devil about these characteristics about Job. Here's the question, my friend. Can he say the same thing to the devil about you when the enemy is getting ready to attack your life? Well, no, don't attack Pastor John in that area because you know how his flesh is and you know what he wants. And so I'm not going to let the devil. No, that's exactly the area that he's going to allow the devil to come to me in. The area that you're the weakest in, that's the one that the enemy is going to come through. He's not going to come through. No, he's going to come through that difficult thing that you haven't given to God yet. He's going to come through, sister, that man that you can't keep your eyes off of. Yeah. There he is. Ooh, how come she got him and I don't? Yeah, that's the devil. Oh, look at him. She don't know what she got. That's the devil. Mm-hmm. Some of you see somebody else come to the church with a brand new car and you've been driving that old Ford, fix or repair daily, you know. Thing barely rolling, and God bless somebody, and they come to church with a new car, and you go out, this sure is nice.
You know, honey, let me tell you about them.
No, the Lord has your number. He gonna keep you in that Ford until you praise him for it. Oh yeah, he gonna keep you in that Ford. So you bow your knee and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this thing. Let it break down on me on the freeway, Jesus. Thank you. When it breaks down, oh, hallelujah. Vicky, can you say amen? Hey, do you love him? Do you love him? Are you going to ask him, oh, Lord, now you know it's about time for you to give me something else. Go on all them credit unions. Go on the way and try. You ain't going to get no money because he's going to say, get the thing fixed and keep on pumping it for me.
I know how it is.
See, God knew this about Job, that he fled from anything that smacked of wrongdoing. The Lord said to the devil, look, you, hey, this dude is going to run from wickedness. Would he say that about us today?
Well, no, you bring the wickedness, and he's going to call and say, well, my brother, I need some counseling in this area. How long have you been getting counseling in this area? 16 months. Are you over it yet? Well, I'm still wrestling with that.
Why don't you stop wrestling with it and put him in a headlock and give him the 1, 2, 3 and you're out? I tell you why you can't do it, because you love what you're wrestling with.
Oh, I'm wrestling with it. Keep it coming. Ooh, I'm wrestling. No, you're not.
God said, look at Joe. When the next came, he knew how to handle it. Oh, friends. When I'm on that radio station and them folks be calling, sometime I look over to the engineer's face and we just start laughing while they're calling.
Look at that. Look at that.
Ball up that whiskey and throw it out. Well, you know, I'm struggling. No, you're not, you fleshly wino. I know how it is. Ah, my friend, this man that God was speaking about obviously had a consciousness of God's ability to take care of the business. See, Job knew that God was going to take care of the business. The church today don't know that. You trusting in me to take care of the business. I can't do it. I'm too busy trying to get him to take care of my business. See, my friends, when you think you're going through your madness, I'm going through triple-dyed madness. And I just need two or three people to hold me up. Now, I'm here preaching to you, brother, saying, oh, this nonsense you're going through, this is nothing out of the ordinary. Secondly, I would say that the test, no matter how severe it is, was only an opening for this man Job to demonstrate that he was more than a passive parishioner. You see, in the church today, we are passive parishioners. You know, we just come to church and say, well, oh Lord, I'm praying. No, you're not. You're not even believing. Because if you believe, you would be here for every Bible study. You would be here for everything that the Lord has for you. But it's not going your way. And so what you're doing is you're demonstrating a reverting back into the world. Because the world brings you pleasure. Look at Job chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, if you will. Look at what the Lord says. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, devil. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now we see something here. We know so well the text of this scripture, yet we have never placed the realities of this text in our lap. And so what I'm going to do right now, in the next few moments, and as I ask you to compare your attention, whatever the mess is that you're going through in your life, lack of a love life between husband and wife, lack of a relationship between parents and children, lack of the money coming in to allow you to meet the needs that you think you need, that you don't need, all these things that you think you want, and God doesn't want you to have them in the first place, because you've been looking at the world and you've been judging your life next to worldly standards instead of God. I want you to look at Job's calamity, attack, Mac attack 1, and we aren't even going to get into Mac attack 2, and then I want you to compare all of the attacks that's come on you, and then I want you to see, do you trust him? And by the time you get up and leave this room, you know, I think some of you know right now that the answer is, heck no, with the H-E-L-L, I don't trust him. See, because that's what you've been saying in your life. Your disobedient reaction to obedience in the faith is saying, heck no, I don't trust you. Man, I expect you to do this for me. And if not, you ain't the God I love. I'm God and I demand you work this thing out. And God is saying, for the next 18 months, I'm going to rain it down on your behind so hard until you thank me for the pain. And that's what God does in the life of believers. And I don't see enough of that, and I'm praying that he continues to rain it down on you until you bow the knee and say, thank you for the situation I'm in, instead of walking around here trying to ask him to get you out of it. That's why you're not growing. You need to thank him for where he's placed you. We don't want to do that. When our lives are changed by the sovereign will of God, most of us fail to understand, my friend. When he changes things in our life, you think that something is going wrong. No, friends, it's all going right. You're in the midst of it. I want to know this. Are you going to follow the obedient word and relish in his will? You know the answer is? No. That's what it is. We feel that like Job, we have passed the test of belief and righteousness and love. Therefore, we say, Lord, why me? Why are you putting me through this? Don't you know I show up in church? I'm being as good as I can be. Why you got me going through this pain? Why don't you work it out? You want to know the Lord says, I'm the one that's putting you in the pain because that's what you expect me to do. And I expect you to thank me for the pain. And you haven't felt it long enough to say thank you. And that's what he's putting the American church through today, like it or not. And this is the opposite of what you hear in most churches that's looking for pleasure syndrome, part one. The test. Oh, yes, Job was real. Compare his test with yours. Now, we're going to look at some of these verses, and we're going to start at verse 13. Now, what happened on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine and in their oldest brother's house, that a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were feeding beside them, and the Sabines attacked and took them. In other words, now all of Job's cattle is gone. And they also killed the servants with the edge of the sword. In other words, when they took all of your cattle, he killed all the employees that you had. And I alone escaped to tell you. Now you can understand that Job is saying, Lord, have mercy. Let's keep Job is saying, help me, Jesus. My entrepreneurship, my bank account is gone. I can't make no more money. My business dealings have stopped. The Lord has stopped everything. Then keep on reading verse 16. While he was still speaking to Job, another came in and said, ooh, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep. There goes the sheep. And the servants and consumed them too. In other words, the world business is gone. And then it says, and I alone have escaped to tell you, at least God was merciful, left one employee to come back to tell him you're out of business. Job's freaking again. Everything is gone that you gave me. God is saying, yeah, take it all. You know what we would do by now? Something's wrong. Let's get a prayer chain going. Lord, what you want? Stop this mess. Lord, what? Turn it around. And the Lord is saying, devil, tear it all up. Tear it up. She creates, oh, yeah. I know my Bible. I know what you're trying to do, Pastor John. You're trying to make me a slave to my mind. I have control. I am God. I change the situation. In the name of Jesus, I stomp Satan. I stomp him. I stomp him. He's the one that God told you to do it, fool. Stomp God. You don't want to stomp Satan. You want to stomp God. Oh, no, no, no. It's not over there, friend. Listen, listen, listen. Verse 17. And while he was still speaking, oh, Lord. Now, can you imagine Job's heart rate now? Man, please. I'm losing everything. Verse 17. While he was still speaking, another came also and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and killed your servants. Oh, Lord, the camel business is shot with the edge of the sword. And I alone escaped to tell you, oh, Lord, Job, man, lock my front door. Stop these folks from coming in here. Let's get a prayer chain going. Don't y'all believe? It didn't stop right there. Keep on reading. Verse 18. While he was still speaking. Now you got three men all speaking and stammering and life and everything is crowded. He was still speaking. Now you got three men all speaking and stammering and life and everything is crowding in. Another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. Amen. Job knew it because we've read before that he prayed for them while they had parties. And then he says, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped. Oh, my baby. Oh, my who? All your babies are dead. Ha, ha. Their wives, all of them are dead. Ha, ha. Well, a wind came from behind. Job is freaking. Hey, people, you mean the God business? God said, oh, devil, what you doing trying to mess up? I got somebody that I want you to mess up. I want you to kill all their children. Kill them all. You people better understand that God you worship. Oh, he's not playing with you, church. We're playing with him. You know, God is a tinker toy. You know, he's something like you go to Mattel's and buy. Just wind him up and send him in the direction that you want him to go. And when he bumps into a wall, he'll automatically turn and go to the next. No, he won't. He's going to face you in a corner and tell you to feel that tension, and then he's going to say, I gave you knees to bow. Now glorify me in this. Oh, people. Yeah. Keep on reading. Look at verse 20. Then Job got up, tore up his robe, shaved his head. We're going to stop right there as I give you some dialogue. The testee's response to God's difficult trial is seen in the first part of verse 20. Here we see a man who felt the tension of going through life. God has given us this story, church, and so that you can know that life's tension is coming your way. If it hasn't hit, it's coming. There ain't a thing you can do to stop it, so you better get ready for it. And when it comes, it's going to bring some tension in your life that's going to make your head spin. And I see Job doing something in this lesson. He felt the tension of life. He was just as real as you and I. He knew what pain was like. He knew what the memory of his children tearing through his heart. They're gone. They're dead. Your money's gone. Your bank account is gone. Everything that you worked for all your life is now a dump pit. God knows that. He allowed it to take place. Why don't you praise him? I can't praise him because that he took was my God. He knew it all the time. That's why he did it. Because you keep looking at what you think you've done. And he took it to show you, I did it, I gave it, and I'll take it, and you will bow your knee if you're a believer. And the church is responding as sinners do, hating God, and even leaving the church. And not even giving in to the church for the blessings of ministry to others. Man, I don't want you to come to the Lord, because if you come to the Lord, he may slam dump you like he's done me. You know, God took a vacation in my life. Do you go to church? No, brother, I don't have time for that anymore. I don't have time for that. See, that's Pastor John's thing. See, he makes money off folk like that. Stuff ain't real, man. I got to make it on my own. Hey, man, this thing is about me making it on my own. You go ahead, Christian. You're going to find out God is going to sink your ship right in front of you. And when you call in for help, guess who he's going to revert you to? A foolish pastor like me that knows how to go through tension. Let's look at this. Loss was a condition of his heart as it now breaks. Look at verse 20. Job stood up. He ripped his robe. Do you know what that meant? Job was in anguish of my Lord, my God. He ripped his robe. What else could have happened to me, Lord? They had to hold a man up. He's freaking. Oh, you have a right to freak. You have a right. The Job is freaking out now. Job is spinning and the servants are trying to catch him. The man is saying, have mercy. He's freaking. And when stuff comes in your life, if you're humans, you will freak. He expects you to freak. If you don't, you a robot. If you don't freak out, well, I'm stronger than that. I know that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and if I had my chance to hit him, I'd knock him out for taking my stuff. Yeah, it's easy for you to quote scripture. I want to see you when you're freaking. But you know how come I don't see you when you're freaking? Because you are staying away from him. What you're doing is you're trying to make it on your own. What you're doing is you have a plan. Oh, I'm going to change this. I'm going to turn this situation around. I'm going to do this thing myself. No, it says eternal salvation is given unto those that obey him. Job was crying out to God in verse 20. Crying out. He arose, he tore his robe, and shaved his head. Hey, here was a man that's getting ready to sit on the ash heap. He says, I am in disgust. I am telling you, that was a sign of remorse and weeping and desperation and depression. And everybody looked at him. The man went on an immediate fast. He said, man, don't bring no food here. My babies are dead. My business is shattered. Everything I work for is gone. Ah, yes, thank you. And I've been there. How can this man do something as strange as he did in the second part of verse 20? For it says, he fell on the ground and worshipped. Now here's where we miss it. We're busy going, chill. Worship. him.
How can I worship a God that has changed on me?
Oh, he hasn't changed. He's bringing you through life. He brought you through life. He worshiped him. Listen, strange words. These words sound strange, yet they are fitting. Strange words, but fitting words. When crises come, you worship him. And worshiping him doesn't sound like this, Lord, please change the situation. Worshiping him means, Lord, I love you so much. Oh, I don't understand this at all. But teach me through this. There's nothing in the bank, John. Oh, the bank. Teach me, Lord, through this. You don't know how you're going to pay the rent. Rent? Please. Teach me through this. See, this is relational life. Christianity is a relation. It's not based upon what you see going on around you. It's a relation. Teach me, Lord. How do you want me to teach you? Take more than that. You aren't serious. I bow the knee. Take my life. I was speaking with my wife yesterday, and I got up and I was depressed because I was thinking about preaching the other sermon, and I said, honey, I'll be 50 in a few days. And I feel so bad in my spirit that I think I'll be dead by the time I hit 50. And I said, take the life insurance and have a, you know, make your life a little easier. I think my death will bless you. And do you know what I was saying? I was saying that, Lord, it don't matter down here. It doesn't matter. Does it matter to you? Oh, man, I never, this is life. What? No, this is preparation for life. You see, Christianity is preparation for life. This isn't life. You see, and that's what's the matter with the church. You've been deceived. This isn't life. This is ministry. This is getting folk ready for life. And see, the Christian church says, oh, man, when all this is life. No, this is preparation for life. You don't know what Christianity is. See, there's only one way that any of us could worship after such a tragedy as Job had, and I call it beyondness. You've got to get beyond where you are to worship. You've got to look at your life and say, I am beyond the mess. This does not matter. It's happening. This does not matter. Why? He matters. And this that is happening to me is his matter with my life, and I accept it. And I worship him, and I do not reject it. I embrace it. Then, my friend, God looks at the devil and puts a monkey wrench in his works and sabotages the devil, and your life comes up. But it ain't going to happen until you go through the mess called life and remain faithful to God. The true result of one who is put into the fire and surfaces out of that fire smokeless is seen in verses 21 and 22. Verses 21 and 22. And he said, naked came from my mother's womb, came I from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Oh, church. Now you see what our problem is. We are sinning, and we are blaming God. But let's handle it. The man saw that life was not what he had, but rather in verse 21a, who he was. If you got a lot of money, that doesn't mean that you have life with Christ. See, what you have is not the consequence. That is not the thing that determines it. It's who you are. And that's why God said to the devil, I know who the man is. And some of you even looked at me and said, John, I tell you why you preach like that. You don't have anything. You'll never have anything because you don't want anything. Well, I want more out of life than you have. Do you know what that person is telling me? I want material things, and you're saying that God doesn't want me to have it, and you can go to hell, and so can God, because I'm going to do everything I can to get it. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to allow you to get it, and then in the midst of your madness, remove it from you, and then say, bow the knee and worship me. That's the key, my friends. And that's the tragedy of being an American and a Christian today. He knew that the end of life was futile, and that he was not to carry anything out with him. Look what he says. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb. He looked at life and said, no, wait a minute, I got to look at this thing. When I was born, I did not have on the Stacy Adams. When I was born, I wasn't wearing the Calvin Klein. When I was born, I wasn't wearing the silk scarves. I didn't have on the expensive cologne and perfume. When I was born, I didn't have no diamonds and gold hanging around my neck. Naked! And I might add, filthy and stinking. That's why the doctor has to wash some little things when they come in. Whew. Man, if they gave you to your mama when you first got here, you said, what is this stuff that blood is stinking? Piece of flesh. It came from you. You ought to know. You stinking too. First thing they buy a baby when it's born is a bottle of powder and some baby lotion, because they don't want it coming home stinking. Job said, oh, I know how I got when I got here. Stinking and filthy. See, we won't admit that yet. That's why you don't pick up the baby right after it's born and take it home. Well, keep it and wash it. It's yours. You wash it. I don't even want to touch it. Stinking just like you are. Oh, if that lady's in the room that called me, I pray, God, that you repent of your sin. Your body is not beautiful. Anybody that thinks that they are the body beautiful are the depravity of the world. Fashion models and all those movie stars and handsome folk and think that God has done them justice by giving them a pretty face. I ain't looking at that face. I'm looking at that rotten, filthy, no good heart. And I said, my brother, my sister, when your body bites the dust, what will God have? Filthiness all to fire. I'd rather look at somebody that when you look at him, it makes you want to run when you, whoo, look at that. But praise God, the Holy Spirit is just booming all around him. Instead of having somebody walking around looking like the fashion plate, look at me. Oh, aren't they a beauty to behold? And then when you hear them talk in the back room, you want to vomit somewhere. Yeah, you see, when you watch all these soap operas, you know, whenever they have the love scene, they always get the pretty people. Oh, darling, you know, and his muscles are showing and she's just bending over and he's holding her. They never have two ugly folks tied up. Ratings would go sky down with them. You know, you get two of the ugliest creatures you ever found and trying to hold and kiss. Man, people would be switching. Man, give me some beauty to look at. Then go out there where Vicky worked and try to buy some clothes to make them look like that. And you put the mess on and you ain't looking like that yet. Why? Oh, my friend. The Lord knows who we are. He knows who we are. Listen, something else. Job saw that the Lord was to be magnified regardless of life's outcome. He said, hey, regardless of what life does to me, I magnify him. I glorify him. I praise him. I lift him up. I mean, why should he do it for me? Yeah. Whenever calamity comes our way, I'm saying, why should you get me out of it? It's my turn. Now I'm saying to you people, it's going to be your turn soon. Something's going to happen. You're going to get a phone call. Somebody's going to die. Something's going to happen. And it's going to break your heart, and you're going to go, oh, my God. And I'm going to say, yes, he is. Praise his name. Oh, now, Pastor John, don't talk to me about praise him now. I ain't got nothing left. I said, honey, you got everything. See, after he's taken everything, now you have everything. See, you couldn't have everything until he took everything. You see, because everything that you thought he gave you, he didn't give you that, you did that. And he lets you accumulate all that stuff and then take it to bring you down the way you are so you can look to him. And you ain't ready to praise him yet. Now, you may say to me, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor, you're not hurting. Let me share something with you, folks. I know what hurt is. I know what hurt is. Do you? I know what it is to get a phone call to say, hey, your whole life's getting ready to change. Some of you are very close. I know what hurt is. I know what it is to sit in a room and cry for 3 days so my daughters won't hear me cry. I know what hurt is. And I know that I do the Bible studies and I do the preaching and I do the preaching and the teaching and the trusting. I know what hurt is when I have to come and preach on Sunday morning when life is hanging in the balance. Don't you ever tell me I don't know because, well, you're not going through. I know what hurt is, but I trust him. And that's how I get through my hurt. And so when you try to say, well, it didn't happen to you, and now it's that, so you better go back in history and look at my life and then say, could you come through what I came through and still preach and teach and show up in church and do all that without preaching? Now you need a vacation from God. And then you're going to go, well, see, you're just saying that because your house wasn't hurt. My house was hurt for an entire year and is still suffering the after effects of financial hurt for the rest of my... Hey, listen. After you've been in your starter house for 20 years and you're working, it's time to buy that second house, right? I will not have the privilege of ever doing that. I'm in my starter and my finisher. And I want you to know in my mind that when I see folk my age in a nice house and a lot of room and all that, I look and I say, boy, I wish I could have something like that. You know what God is saying? I started you and I finished you, preacher. You will bow the knee and you will praise me every day for the little things. Oh, I know what hurt is. And I'm going to worship him every day of my life. And the minute God changes on you and it's not materialism like that, you take a vacation from grace. And then you're going to say, oh, well, you don't know what hurt is. I know exactly what hurt is. And I tell him in my house, keep your mouth shut and praise him for what he's doing with that. Where it is. The minute something happened in your life, and listen, some of you folks got money and everything else, and the minute little things happen, well, I'm going to put this God down. He ain't coming through. Yeah, right. The interesting aspect about the whole of this part of the text this morning that is found in the last verse as you look at verse 22. Through all of this, oh Lord, have mercy. Some of you said, all of this? Man, you crazy? Fool, if I had some of this, I'd be through with him. All of this. First guy coming to my house, I'm through with Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, that ought to be his name. Jehovah Roi, he will provide what? Disaster? You can roll out of my house. I know how it is, Christians. Because, see, that's what Christianity has done. You got this idea that, well, when you come to Christ, everything's going to be nice. Y'all better wake up. Life is going to be devastating in the midst of it, and he wants you to worship and praise him. And some of our worship and praise, we can't even do that because we're in friction with him. Ah, my friends, I see it in the verse 22. Through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Unfortunately, we can't say that for the church. Some of us are sinning right here in this body. It's not going the way we want it, and we are sinning against God. That's why your spirits grieve. That's why your lives are going haywire. You are sinning. You are grieving him. He is displeased with you. You can't read the Bible. You don't want to come to Bible study. You ain't growing in grace. You don't even want to work. You are sinning against God. That's what you're doing. You're not like Job. And you have more than he ever had. Job didn't even have the indwelling Holy Spirit. All he knew is that God was there. And you know more than that. What are we doing? My friends, it's very interesting to see this. We understand that the entire situation brought distress on and in Job's life. None of it caused this godly man to go astray. None of it caused him to say, I got second guesses. None of it caused the man to say, hey, man, I'm through with you now, Lord. Hey, I ain't showing up no more. I'm going to cut down my money because I got to take my money and now I got to put it in this. Since this is going, I got to put it. Listen, let me give you the secret of the Lord. You owe God everything he's given you. You take it and put it in there to make it go for you. He's going to make it more difficult for you. That's what he's going to do. Because he's saying, I gave you the job, I gave you the money. You are to give it to me in faith, and I will turn it around. You're saying, you ain't going fast enough, so I'm not going to do that. you are going further and further and further back in time. Do you trust him, my friend? Sin was out of the question. I see that in that verse. Depression, dissension, none of it. The man says, I'm not depressed, and I'm not going to, be fussing with God about this. That's what it means. He didn't blame God. We're blaming God.
Lord, if you had done this, this would have happened.
And if the Lord would speak to you, he would say, I need to kill you immediately. I need to kill you because you are telling other folks that don't even know me that that's what you think of me, and you're a liar. I've never been that way. Friends, if you're truly a worshiper of the Lord, you better pay attention to this. Determination to stay focused is what Job had. I'm determined to remain focused. Church loses focus. First time something happens, what am I going to do? You know what you need to do? Focus on God. Focus upon God. Well, Lord ain't going to do nothing. I mean, it ain't nothing to him. Let me share something with you. I have been a man that have never had a lot of things. But I have also been a man that has never had a need for anything. Now you put that together. I do not have a lot of things, but I've never had a need for anything. I don't even go after things. Things come after me. When your life is going after things, things will try to avoid you because you need to be going after God, and he'll give you the things that you need, never the things that you want. He is not into you getting your wants met, but your needs met, and half of us don't need half of what we have. My CD player went out. I like to listen to nice music when I study at home, and I kept putting the CD on it, and I only paid $49 for the cheap piece of junk. I should have paid at least $150 for it, so I got it on sale, things, and I got the beating on it last night. This old piece of trash! And I said, that's all it is. It's a piece of trash. But you know what I didn't do? I did not jump in my car and run down to Circuit City and get another one. Because I don't have the money. So my CDs will stay up there and not spinning until I get another CD player. See what I mean? How many of you would have been in your car driving to a store? I gotta have a CD that runs. Fool! You don't need it. And that's the problem with the American church. God can broke my CD. No, come on. A $49 CD is not supposed to last all its life. I'm glad I got a year out of it. And I'm just going to go home in the backyard and throw it down and break it up to see how it works. What is this? Damn! Now you may say, wait a minute, Pastor. Maybe it needs it. I don't know what it needs. It's crazy. I need it to play when I hit the button, and it's not playing. Now if we got a CD repairman, come on by and fix it. Save me a trip to Circuit City in about 6 months. Because I don't have that kind of money to be buying a CD. Now, if you got a little broke-up CD you don't want, put it on my desk. I said, thank you, Jesus, and go on home with it. And I'm not begging for a CD. I'm giving you an example. Thank you. I'm giving you an illustration about what I don't need. I don't need a CD to be happy. Listen. Sin, when it overtakes you while you are under these kind of trials, grinds your heart up. See, when you're under these kind of trials, that's when sin overtakes you. You see, the devil has put it in your way, and the devil says, they saved, they sanctified, they're filled in the Holy Ghost, I'm going to send some tension, then we're going to see if they're going to shake and bake, or if they're going to stand and remain focused. And that's why when calamity comes in my life, I'm saying, now, Lord, what are you trying to say to me here? What have you been doing that I told you to stop doing? Oh, Lord, who have you been talking to that I told you not to talk to? Oh, Lord, why didn't you do what Pastor John told you to do 6 months ago? Oh, shut up, groaning. You are suffering the effects of your disobedience. Now get on the knee and thank me for the tension. Until you do that, you remain under tension. You're going to try to change it yourself? Go right ahead. I have found that trying to do that is insanity. God is going to bake you and work you until you bow the knee and say, Lord, I've learned the lesson. Then you get up and you never do that again, forever. That's the way Christianity is. But no, today you think you can just, well, I'm going to do it my way, forget you, Pastor. Hey, look, whatever you do, don't let Pastor John know what you're going through. Because once he knows, I'm the person that needs to know. Because I'm going to tell you how to get over. I'm going to say, now this is how you do it. What? Bow the knee, tell the Lord you ain't never had no business in it. Like I told that woman, tell the Lord you love that whiskey and them cigarettes. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. That's right. I said, everybody in the world knows it's right. Your flesh is filthy. Then she mentioned her pastor, which is a heretic, and I told her that, and then she really got mad, and I hung up on her. Now, you see, that's why she's messed up, because the pastor is a heretic. And all of them drink and smoke and do that over there. And see, I just tell you, I don't care how much money you give them. If you're sinning, and you talk to me, I'm going to say, you are sinning, stop it. And you're going to say, go on with your bad self. Sin will overtake you and it will grind up your heart. Job knew something that the 20th century church and the saints in the church neglect to undertake an understanding about. He knew this. I can't be blaming God for something that he ordained to take place. I can't be holding God accountable. He knows everything. Since it happened, he must know it. I'm going to praise him. And he may change it. Let me add this before closing. This was only the first attack. I want you to notice, because if you look at chapter 2, you see the second attack. There was another day, and we ain't going into that. I just want you to know. There was another day when the angels came before God and Satan came. And the Lord said, what happened, big boy? Oh, well, let me touch his flesh. In other words, when I give him the text, God will put whammy number one on you. And when you come through that, you think he's through? He's getting ready to levy whammy number two. See, you think that you've survived because you've gotten over that hurdle? Keep living. He's going to shower it on us. The mystery of our Christian faith is that we don't care anymore. We are his slaves. Just to quickly look at that. Verse 2 of chapter 2, and the Lord says to Satan, where have you come from? And the devil answered, sent from roaming on the earth and walking around it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And then he says, he's blameless. And then he went on and says, well, you know, Satan says, well, you know, flesh for flesh. No, let me touch his flesh. Let me touch his bones and all that kind of stuff. And then his friends came in and started criticizing him. His friends said, well, you must have done. Has anything ever happened to you? And then your best friend called you and said, you must have sinned. Because something has happened to you? Oh man, there must be some sin in your life. Not necessarily. Your life belongs to God. When calamity comes in your life, God is just saying, I'm going to show the world who I am through how that person that loves me responds to the tension that I'm putting in their life. But I will say this, in the life of the church today, most of our calamities happen because of sin. If things are not getting better in your Christian experience based upon your faith in Christ, it is because of sin. If you keep taking one step forward and six slides backwards, sin. Because I'm going to tell you something, when calamity comes, if you bow the knee and if you praise God for all of the calamity that's coming in your life, you are happy. And then when folks say, have you sinned? I say, no, I haven't sinned, but I'm just relishing in God. But if the answer is, well, you know, I got to give some thought. Yes, I know, my dear brother. I know, my dear sister, and God does too. And it's about time for you to straighten your act up. You see, the lesson of the Bible shares the eternal truth that there is more to come in life, and the difficulties in life are inevitable. You better get that through your head. As a Christian, difficulties are inevitable. They will come. The key to the difficulties and answering the question of do you trust him is in how you relate to what God is bringing in your life.